Welcome back. I was recently talking with my better half who said there was a clinical study that said coffee was bad for you. Now, I'm a coffee drinker. But let me say, there have been a lot of clinical studies done on the effects of drinking coffee. One 2006 study says that people who metabolize caffeine slowly can have an increase in non-fatal heart attacks. Another study says that drinking coffee can help you lose weight. Still another lists the benefits that include protecting against type 2 diabetes, Parkinson's disease, liver cancer, and promoting a healthy heart. No, wait. Didn't an earlier study demonstrate that drinking coffee could lead to an increase in non-fatal heart attacks, not promote a healthy heart? So this brings me to the topic of this episode, medical studies. Are they real, bullshit, or product promotion? I'm also going to throw into this episode how much more we see infomercials from drug companies pushing their own products. Now, I remember being a kid growing up watching television. I don't recall ever seeing a commercial from a drug company. But today, in almost every commercial break, there is a commercial for a drug. So, medical and drug studies help to determine whether a drug or food we take or ingest will impact us. Of the many commercials for different drugs you see while watching television, have you ever stopped and listened to the list of potential side effects? So there was a trial of that drug that those participating had some degree of side effect. Therefore, participant one had severe headaches while participant two did not. By extension, those participants in one of the many caffeine studies had both increased heart attacks and others healthier hearts. A contradiction, right? Have you heard about a medical study that announced one fad and successfully only to see another discrediting the survey a week later? Many people say that medical studies and trials are pure junk. It's not a secret. Within the research community, it's well known. For any study or trial to have any legitimacy, it must be replicated. However, almost half of medical studies and trials celebrated in newspapers and even on TV do not stand up under follow-up studies. Many are disconfirmed. If you're a fan of the Big Bang Theory television show, do you remember the episode where Sheldon, played by actor Jim Parsons, found a new super heavy element? That element was confirmed by a Chinese research team, but later in the episode, we learn that Sheldon made an error, converting metric numbers. That the element he had found actually shouldn't exist. Now, Leonard, actor Johnny Galecki, replicated his test and did not find the element, thus disproving the theory. Inherently, to err is human, and to err is a part of the scientific process. Unfortunately, this level of erring wastes time, resources, and costs taxpayers in excess of $28 billion a year. Yes, with a B. Now, speaking of studies, one found that between 1980 and 2012, some 12.8 million medical and health studies were published. Of those, university scientists only read 250 to 270 studies per year. Non-university scientists read about half that number. The question that comes up for me is who is doing the peer review of these studies? Now, I only went to college for a couple of years. I didn't graduate with a degree. So when you talk about peer review, I'm not talking about the football player looking over a medical study. A peer review is just that, one of your peers. So if you're a geneticist, another geneticist is going to review your work. That's the peer review process. So the question is, who's actually conducting the follow-up studies to validate the results of the first group? So I'm not saying that all medical and scientific studies are bad, nor am I saying that they're all good. How are we, the gullible public, to trust any of these studies in the first place? For me, a lot of volunteers in these studies are just poor self-reporters. Some just are not honest about prior health issues like smoking, overeating, existing medical conditions, exercising, etc. This can skew the results of many studies, leading to erroneous conclusions. A lot of studies pay participants to volunteer, again, leading to less than honest participants. So therefore, what are we really to believe? Now, science is incremental. That means we can go back a decade or two and see where we were and then compare to how far we've come. It was April of 2003 when we finally sequenced human DNA, the Human Genome Project. Today, we're able to connect certain genes to certain actions and reactions within the human body. However, I doubt that we can do much more than that. I've heard and read that we're getting closer to be able to introduce genes to activate dormant genes in animals. Now, this means that we'll be able to do it in humans in the not too distant future. So what I'm saying is we need to be patient. Do our own research, talk to our family doctor. Was that study peer-reviewed? Was it replicated? Were the results real? Were they fabricated? Were they just exaggerated? So my opinion, most medical studies are worth the wait, some are not. Consider that someone had to volunteer for that study. But what about the individuals who will eventually benefit from the study? In the rush to get breaking news, one should wait until a potential discovery is peer-reviewed and replicated before making an announcement. I also wonder something else. How can someone take a drug that has a potential list of side effects that, to me, would negate any benefits of the drugs themselves? Now, let's go into a list here, because I love lists. Side effects I've heard while listening to some of these commercials on TV from drug companies include, right, ready for this, hallucinations, coma, insomnia, vivid dreams and nightmares, increased bowel movements, uncontrollable bowel movements, nausea, constipation, runny nose, and yes, death. These types of side effects are from drugs such as Mirapex for restless leg syndrome, Flomax, the prostate drug, Veramist for allergies, and Chantix, a stop smoking drug. In my opinion, it's just not worth it. I know Chantix in particular because as a former smoker, I needed the assistance to stop the habit. Its side effect was vivid dreams and nightmares. And the doctor had told me that a couple of his patients that had taken the drug did indeed have extreme vivid dreams. So why would one want to take a drug that had these kind of side effects? So, you know, it is questionable science when these medical studies ignore racial and ethnic minorities. It's a new topic here. Almost 40% of Americans belong to a racial or ethnic minority. Yet, in some clinical trials for new drugs, 80 to 90% of participants are white. It is questionable science when it comes to researching diseases that particularly affect marginalized racial and ethnic groups. It isn't the scientists' fault, well, not entirely. Members of those minority groups are far more reluctant to participate than their white counterparts. Another issue is that many ethnic and minority groups do not have access to care centers that are conducting these trials. So, furthermore, in my opinion, it is unethical and dangerous without making an effort to certify these drugs for their safety and efficiency by failing to include members of racial and ethnic minorities in clinical trials. So again, peer review, replicated, verify the results of the study before broadcasting it to the planet. So thank you for listening, and I do appreciate you sharing this with your friends. Have a great day.